Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. It is a Friday episode, Friday. We are going 21 through 25 on our big boards. Corey, a lot has changed since the last time we did one of these rankings. So we're going to start off by going through our 1 through 20s.
Yeah.
Corey will do 1 through 10. I'll do 1 through 10. He'll do 11 through 20. I'll do 11 through 20. And then we will get into this. But as I said, Corey is here. Corey is flying down to Frisco, Texas tomorrow or today, if you are listening to this when it drops, to go to the Shrine. And I'm going to sit here in bed and watch Senior Bowl practices when those pop up on ESPN Plus. So we have our weekend plans, and we have plans for next week's episodes. And so I'm really excited to get into this, because this is where, and I say this is where it really opens up. I've been seeing boards everywhere, and boards are all over the place. And I love it. I love everybody going out on a limb, showing their work. This is what I got. This is my shit. I'm really excited about that in this class. We're about to do that today. Give me your 1 through 10. Corey.
Yeah. So my 1 through 10 has not changed. And it probably, I mean, athletic testing flipped the board a little bit, because I have like Nick Emmanuori and Tyler Warren have identical grades. So like whoever tested after is going to get the higher bump there, obviously. But
and who the hell knows out of those two?
Right.
They might both be 10 O's.
Right. So number one is Travis Hunter as a corner. Graded as a corner out of Colorado, although I don't have him graded as a wide receiver, and I probably won't go back and do that just because time constrictions, and I think he's a corner. So Travis Hunter, number one. Abdul Carter, edge rusher out of Penn State, number two. Ashton Gentry, running back from Boise State, number three. Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan, number four. Will Johnson, corner, Michigan, number five. Malachi Starks, safety slash corner, Georgia, number six. Luther Burden, wide receiver, Missouri, number seven. Nick Emmanuori, safety, South Carolina, number eight. Tyler Warren, Penn State, tight end, number nine. And Texas A&M pass rusher, Shamar Stewart, number 10.
And my number one is also Travis Hunter, the corner. I have number two, Abdul Carter from Penn State. Number three is Mason Graham, Michigan. Number four is Will Johnson, also Michigan. Number five is Ashton Jantee. Number six is Tyler Warren. Number seven is Nick Emmanuori, my favorite player in this class. Number eight is Nick Scorton. Number nine is Malachi Starks. And number 10 is Travis Hunter, the wide receiver. But for our purposes, it is Luther Burden, wide receiver from Missouri.
I'm glad that we love Luther Burden, because there's not a lot of Luther Burden love out there anymore.
Dude, there really isn't. And listen, I get it, because
I get it too.
Even when we look, like when we look at his profile, I'm terrified of it. Because I do think production, especially at wide receiver, is very important. But then also you look at the context of that offense and what they asked him to do. And then you watch that up against what he's actually able to bring physically. And it was a complete mismanagement of an asset that you had. And so for me, yeah. I see somebody who is, because he's built incredibly well. He's like 5'11", 215.
215,
like,
yeah, he's a big boy.
Big dude, but where Debo and guys like Fannin are a little bit stiffer, and like Debo is still unbelievable with the ball, but part of that is contact balance, part of that is his vision, and then part of it is like short area agility. But Burden also has that fluidity to be a really good pure route runner at the NFL level, and he's not there yet. But he hasn't really asked to be there yet. So I am excited. And I've missed on a guy like him before. I missed on Jamar Chase. And Jamar Chase had the outrageous production. But he's somebody who I didn't love the route tree. And I didn't really, I didn't put the right stock into the physicality that he played with and the explosiveness that he played with. And that's where I'm not going to miss with Luther Burden.
And that's where I'm at too. Like, I've been vocal on this podcast that I've missed on wide receivers because I just prioritized route running and separation so much. And I think that's really great, to where I just completely overlooked play strength through contact. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, Jerry Jeudy burst on the scene in Cleveland this year, but like, that's where I missed on a guy like Jerry Jeudy early in his career, because, and it's still in Cleveland. Anytime he's getting initiated through the catch point, like, he struggles. Another Cleveland receiver, Elijah Moore, is another guy I missed on. He was drafted by the Jets. I had a top 40 grade on Elijah Moore, like, because he's an excellent route runner and he separated really well.
Sky so Moore.
Sky Moore was a little more stiffer than I thought he was too. And that was a huge miss for me, because I love Sky Moore coming out. But it's not only that with Luther Burden, but like, the dude's body control, late hands, ability to locate the foot track and locate the football.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. So yeah, I'm not missing on Luther Burden this year. I'm not doing it.
All right. 11 through 20.
That was a little sidetrack we went on there. 11 for me. LSU offensive lineman Will Campbell. 12, James Pierce, edge rusher from Tennessee. 13, Te'Aroa McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona. 14, Joshua Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State. 15, Azariah Thomas, cornerback, Florida State. I finally figured out how to say that correctly. Thank you, Clay Fink, who DM'd me the pronunciation on Twitter.
Azariah.
Number 16 is Caleb Johnson, Iowa running back. Number 17 is Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Number 18 is Oregon offensive tackle Josh Connerly. And here's a new addition that wasn't in our 15 through 20 episode that I need to talk about now, that did bump one guy into my 21 through 25, which we'll go over today. 19 for me now, because I don't think that there was even a playoff game on tape the last time we did these. That's how long it's been since.
It's been a while.
Number 19 for me is Ohio State offensive tackle, graded as an offensive tackle, Donovan Jackson. Number 20 is Jahad Campbell, linebacker, Alabama.
All right. I have at number 11, offensive tackle, Will Campbell from LSU. Mm. Yeah. At number 12, I have Te'Aroa McMillan. Number 13, James Pierce Jr. Number 14, Shamar Stewart. Number 15, Armand Membau. Number 16, I have Caleb Johnson. Number 17, Jihad Campbell. Number 18, Alfred Collins. And listen, guys, I know he ain't going to get drafted anywhere near there. I'm not saying that he does deserve to get drafted anywhere near there. All I'm saying is he is the best run defender I have ever watched. Number 19, Emeka Egbuka. Number 20, a new addition, Kelvin Banks.
Love it. Love it, love it. So before we dive into 21 through 25, we should talk about our new additions. You talk about Kelvin Banks. I talk about Donovan Jackson a little bit. I feel like we need to talk about that.
All right, we can talk about it quick. Let's get in and get out.
Okay, fine. So yeah, so 21 for me is Savon Revel, who was number 20 in our last episode, corner from ECU. So I don't need to talk about him. If you want to know about his report, go listen to that episode. Donovan Jackson playing offensive tackle. He is 6'3.5", if I had to guess. Maybe he's pushing full 6'4". 34 3/8 inch arms. But what does it for me is, man, his foot speed is stellar at offensive tackle after being a guard for 3.5 years of his NFL or his college career. Started ever since he's a true freshman at guard. But man, he's setting vertically. He's setting 45. And he's rerouting guys like James Pierce back inside. He isn't, and that's the big thing for me when I talk about, like, this is again why I have Jonas Savai and I graded as an offensive tackle and Will Campbell graded as offensive guard. If I see that you struggle and give up a soft outside shoulder, that's where I say, like, that's a guard. Rashawn Slater, 33-inch arms and 6'3". Dude had a strong outside shoulder because his foot speed was tremendous to match any sort of speed and bend on the outside. Donovan Jackson's not a Rashawn Slater level athlete. I would never compare him to that. But his foot speed is more than good enough. I didn't see him give up bend or speed along the outside track at all in these four games in the playoffs. And honestly, the Michigan game is a little rough through the chest, but I went back and watched after we talked about it off air once, and I didn't see him getting beat on the outside shoulder. But there might not have been a better college football player in the college football playoffs in this four-game stretch than Donovan Jackson. And I can't overlook that. And that's why on DraftOnDraft.football, I wrote a film room breaking down why I think he deserves the chance to play the offensive tackle at the NFL level.
Yeah, and I don't hate it. I need to still go through his playoff performances and find out if I like him at guard or at tackle. But I really like the player at guard, so I will probably like him at tackle. I started off with the Michigan game with him at tackle because I was just going kind of in order and I didn't get through anything else, but we will get there. I added Kelvin Banks, and it's because the more I watched, especially in the playoffs, the more I believe in the athleticism, the explosiveness, the redirectability is the big one that I think he really showed a lot more of. Listen, you're just not going to see any vertical sets in that offense. And that is scary because I don't think that his foot speed is tremendous. But what I do like about him is that he's really incredibly patient with his hands. I think that you need to get him with, and this is something that we don't talk about enough with offensive linemen, you need to get these guys with the right offensive line coaches, with the right technique for strikes and what they are comfortable with. Because at the end of the day, I don't really like the way that either of the Texas guys do it, and that's a coached thing, I think. What I do love is the patience that both of them have. And so he has that patience. I like the outside hand. I like that when he is in his 45, I think he's more than explosive enough to survive at left tackle. And I think that when they did get behind in the playoffs against Ohio State, I thought that he did a better job than I was expecting. Even though JTT is not a pure speed rusher, they were able to kind of pin their ears back a little bit. And I thought that he did a much better job than I expected him to. And so it was just a little bit more of a confidence boost for me seeing him in the playoffs.
So I bring this up. It's another little side tangent because this is where we have differed on Will Campbell, who you think is a tackle and I think is a guard. I think Kelvin Banks is a guard and I think Donovan Jackson is a tackle. And Jonas Abaina is a tackle. Do you think I'm overvaluing foot speed?
I think there's a very good chance that everybody overvalues certain traits. I just think it's whatever your biases are. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is for wide receivers, it's still route running.
Yeah.
It's still the ability to separate. Mm-hmm. That's why I liked Isaiah Bond so much. Because of that natural ability to separate. And then he obviously like completely fell off this year. It's why I really like Henderson. I love guys who can pass pro and catch the ball out of the backfield and have explosiveness. It's why I am was always overall a little bit lower on Omarion Hampton and guys like Judkins. Because the battering ram guys, I just... I'm not as high on. We all have our biases with the types of players that we like. And at the end of the day, you're going to hit on guys that you like. You're going to miss on guys that you like. Mm-hmm. You're going to hit on guys that you don't like, and you're going to miss on guys that you don't like. And that's just the nature of this business. What I do think is that we want guys to do things in an aesthetically pleasing way. Mm-hmm. And even if, and this takes me to like Armand Membau, it's not always pretty. It's actually usually not very pretty, but the effectiveness of what he was able to do against a murderer's row of pass rushers, I put a ton of weight in because that's the type of talent he will be facing at the NFL level. Yeah. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that conversation.
Fair point. All right. So who got bumped to 21 for you by putting Kelvin Banks in?
So number 21 for me, it actually wasn't a bump because there was just a bunch of different things that happened my top 20, with my top 40, 50.
Okay. So who is 21?
Going through these grades. Number 21 for me is a riser. Even I watch more of him and I just keep falling more and more in love with him. It is Purdue offensive lineman.
Ooh, man.
Bo.
I felt like I started the Bo train over the summer, and I'm not even that high on Marcus Bo. And I love Marcus Bo.
Yes.
So that's awesome.
And this is graded as a center. He wouldn't be anywhere near this as a tackle. No. I don't really think he has tackle play in him at the NFL level. And it just comes down to the way that he loses at offensive tackle, which is funny because as good of an athlete as he is, he does lose the outside track, which is a really funny thing for super athletic guys to lose through the shoulder like that. What I love about him is he reminds me of a more spry version, but a less overly, a less physical version of Graham Barton, where Graham Barton was like 320. So he had a little bit more juice, but both of these guys are assholes. Both of these guys love to fight in a phone booth. Both of these guys keep their hands fighting.
His hands are so good.
Consistent. He is. And what I loved most when I went back through and I rewatched Bo was the ability to, on combo blocks, when he was down blocking, he was able to absolutely displace three techniques and then climb to the second level and meet guys. And it's that explosiveness and control in his hips that I absolutely adore. I also think he's an incredibly intelligent blocker. I'm interested because one of the ways that he loses is kind of against space. And so I'm even coming around more to the idea of him playing guard at the next level because it takes away some of the space that you might have to deal with as a center with nobody over top of you. Now, there's more 50 fronts coming back into the NFL. So he might have more guys over top of him, but he's incredibly good when he's got somebody right in front of his face. And so for me, as long as he doesn't have any issue snapping the football, for me, he's a center. He's nasty. He's explosive. I think that he is scheme versatile because he moves people and he can move like lightning. So for me, he is number 21.
I love it. I love it. Senior Bowl's coming up. I would have some massive concerns if they did not have him snapping the football in Mobile.
Yeah.
With that. So yeah, 20 for me is Savon Revel. Again, I already talked about him. 22 for me is Oregon defensive tackle Derek Harmon. And this is one of those, there's players every year, right? Where you like, you rank them, you're like, that feels too high. But then like, I go back over my notes. Was like, well, let me read over my notes. Did I grade it appropriately based on what I wrote in my notes? Like, yeah, I did. Like that's the player I think he is. And Derek Harmon is that player for me. And honestly, what it comes down to is like, I came into watching Derek Harmon just anticipating he was going to be a slippery pass rusher because that's all the highlights you see. But like, what really sold me on Derek Harmon is the run game reps where like, he's got an impressive upper body where he is locking out and holding down gap integrity extraordinarily well. And then you throw in like, yeah, this guy's got some fluid hips. This guy can play outside of his frame a little bit for being a big dude. This guy can. And so I do think playing next to Jamari Caldwell, who can take up a lot of space, helps a lot. But I think he's got tools, lower half tools. Like he might be the most, I'd say Walter Nolan is probably the most fluid offensive tackle or defensive tackle in the class. And even though I don't really like Walter Nolan, but I would
outside
say
of, probably, outside of Mason Graham.
Well, outside of Mason Graham. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But Derek Harmon's really fluid, man. Like he can play outside with his ankles outside of his hips. I think his hands got better as the year went along. But again, what really sold me is like, I just anticipated like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to think this guy's a freaking two down pass rush dependent defensive tackle who isn't going to be able to see the field early in his career on rundowns. And I kind of came away, not really the opposite, because I do think he's still a good pass rusher, but I think he's a better run defender.
That's exactly how I look at him too. That's exactly how everything that you went through on your journey with Derek Harmon is exactly what I went through with my journey with Derek Harmon. And he's a little bit lower for me. He won't be in this top 25, but he is not far away from that. My next player is exactly what you just said about Derek Harmon. I'm not sure why I have this guy so high because he absolutely terrifies me in every way, shape, or form. And that is Georgia edge rusher slash linebacker, Jalen Walker. He had a pretty significantly higher grade for me at edge than he did at linebacker. I watched games late in the year. And listen, you can sit here and you can spout PFF stats all you want about, oh, he dropped into coverage this many times. He rushed the passer this many times. I watched the games. He didn't drop into coverage. Didn't actually drop. Wasn't actually playing coverage. He was playing a spy role, but that man was not dropping in coverage the way that Shmail Mondin was dropping into coverage.
Wasn't happening. Like one of my crushes, like mid-round crushes.
He just didn't actually play linebacker. He played downhill battering ram at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. And that terrifies me.
Yep.
Terrifies me. Mm-hmm. And then you look at him as a pass rusher. And it's like, well, the bend is pretty good. It's okay. The pass rush plan isn't really there. And so you're looking at a guy who's like, mm-hmm. not really a pass rusher, not really a linebacker. But the sawed-off frame, the ability to win through the chest, the outrageous closing speed. Mm-hmm. I understand. And Abdul Carter is Micah Parsons. But I understand why people thought that Jalen Walker could be Micah Parsons. Because that closing speed, that teleportation ability, mm-hmm. that plays at any level. He is going to chase down quarterbacks who are trying to get outside of the pocket. And it will be mind-blowing that he was able to get there as fast as he did. Quarterbacks will want to throw the ball away and not have the opportunity because he's able to close that fast. And I think when you are 6'2", 245 pounds, move the way that he does, I really like him for odd front teams with the ability to drop into the flats if he has to. And the ability to rush off of the edge. That's the linebacker that I want to use him as.
Okay.
And I think that's where his biggest value is, because I think that Micah Parsons could have been a really good off-ball linebacker. But the more value, if you can get it out of him on the edge, is on the edge.
I would agree that the value's there. I will talk about Jalen Walker a little bit later.
Yeah.
At the other position. Who is 23?
23 for me is Omarion Hampton, running back from UNC. And I was talking about battering rams and how I don't like them all that much. But good Lord, the juice that Omarion Hampton has at the first and second level is outrageous. I don't think there's a more purely explosive runner in that like gear one to gear three than Hampton. And on top of that, I think he's a really good pass catcher out of the backfield. He's not somebody who you're going to split out wide like you would with like even Raheem Sanders and ask him to run routes, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I really started to like him in true outside zone looks, which is something that years prior, I didn't think that he had zone eyes whatsoever. And so I think that that was a big improvement this year overall. I think that he has more than enough long speed to create explosive plays. His vision isn't anywhere near, and his feet aren't anywhere near where Caleb Johnson is. And that's why he's not RB2 in this class, even though he is a much better pass protector than Caleb Johnson is. I think that on duo runs, he could stand actually to bounce it a little bit more. I think he's a little too quick with getting downhill and running into the brick wall that duo creates at times. Yeah. And I do think that consistency in pass pro is lacking a little bit. The want, the desire is all there. His ability to blow people up at 6 foot, 220 pounds is there. But for me, what really separates him is that special burst, the decisiveness in his playmaking, and the absolute ability to make people really wish they didn't try to tackle him.
I keep thinking about Omarion Hampton to the Chicago Bears to become Ben Johnson's David Montgomery. Yeah. Which is funny because David Montgomery was in Chicago.
And we've been talking in my Discord a lot about the potential of JMT at number 10. But with their offensive line need, I think it's a great spot for Will Campbell.
Josh Simmons, one of those
guys. Josh Simmons. Yeah. And then you go Omarion Hampton or Henderson or one of those guys in round two.
Yeah, I agree. My number 23 is the other Georgia edge rusher, Mykael Williams. I'm just okay with being low on Mykael Williams. People see Mykael Williams as a
top 10 player. If you are low.
I am low. You're lower than me, but I'm low compared to consensus. People are like pinning this guy into the first or the top 10.
This is the overvaluation
of an alien. And I get it. You like Danielle Hunter is the prime example. You take an alien who doesn't know how to play the sport, and then he learns it and he becomes a premier pass rusher in the NFL. But there's also what? Well, that's also true. That's also true. And so is Odafe Owe. So, like, those are the two examples of like freaks who have no pass rush plan, but they're both fluid athletes. Mykael Williams is an alien. We get it. 36-inch arms, freak build at Georgia. Production's not there. And production's not there because he can't rush the passer. Like, he has no pass rush plan at all, other than long arm. That's it. And I struggle with that. And I also struggle with that even more because, like, not only has he not won the outside track, because I went back and I watched 4 or 5 games and I saw 2 reps where he even took the outside track. 2. I don't know if he can, because I think his ankles are hella stiff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of Tyree Wilson kind of figured it out, though. Like, this is the Tyree Wilson thing. Tyree Wilson's kind of the same way. Stiff as a board. Can't really win. Like, can he figure out a way to just win through the chest consistently? Like, that's what I struggle with. You can win through the chest consistently at the college level when you're playing against future realtors and insurance salesmen. The NFL level, you're playing against professional offensive tackles every week. So I really struggle with guys who cannot threaten the outside track. And that's where I'm at with Mykael Williams. I will take, to an extent, a low second round grade on Mykael Williams because of the freakish athleticism, the explosiveness, the length. He's a hell of a run defender, man. Like, he'll lock out and set a very strong edge. Like, and he's got the length to keep defenders out of his chest or blockers out of his chest consistently. But like, if you're an edge defender and you offer me very little as a pass rusher, like, what do I do with that?
Yeah. It's weird. We're talking about number 21 through 25, and you're like, I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Because I'm still talking about guys that I love. You want to do number 24?
Sure. 24 for me is a guy who is number 15 for you, Armon Membo from Missouri. I really like Membo's tape. Membo is another case of like, how much stock am I putting into foot speed, and is it too much? Because I think Membo plays with a great base. I think his set is clean, but I don't think the foot speed is like exceptional. And I think his punch timing's a little off. I think his core at times is suspect, getting work through the chest a little bit. With that being said, this guy absolutely deserves to go first round in a class where the Buccaneers don't need an offensive tackle. Like, they're one of the only teams in the NFL that doesn't need a freaking offensive tackle. In a league that is so starved for offensive tackles, this guy needs to go first round. Mm-hmm. This guy has to go first round. And you mentioned like the gauntlet. We've talked about it, like both Texas A&M edge rushers. LSU, South Carolina, he's played every big pass rusher we've talked about in this class, and he doesn't give up sacks at the SEC level through a gauntlet. So like, at some point we have to say like, okay, you mentioned like, it's not pretty, but like, the guy just gets it done. The guy just doesn't let people get to his quarterback. So he's coming in at 24 for me.
You know, I love that. All right. At number 24 for me, quite possibly my second favorite player in this class is Ohio State running back Travion Henderson. And listen, guys, I now understand that I have four running backs in my top 25.
It's a good running back class.
It's terrifying for me as a running backs don't matter member. But man, the first of all, the renaissance of running backs at the NFL level has been outstanding. But listen, 215 pounds, 5'10", built really, really well, built low to the ground, unbelievable explosiveness. He's built as a speedster, but like I said, he is built like an NFL running back. Thickness throughout his frame. He is, and this is what I wrote. I wrote down willing participant in pass pro. That was like my first thing.
Oh my God.
Mirrors rushers well, squares them up. Not afraid to fire hands into the chest, picks his battles well. He'll chop down trees when it's necessary. Oh, might actually be the best pass protector I've ever watched at the position. Like, that's where it goes for me. It's okay.
Williams is up there for me.
Yeah, I just keep seeing things that I love and love and love and love about him as a pass protector. And then you look at him as a pass catcher and the explosiveness and the vision that he has in the open field and the ability to, something we talk about all the time, and I think something that we might overvalue in running backs, is the ability to like make big jump cuts, like big pretty things, but the ability to bend through speed, to be able to not have to jump cut to cut back on outside zone, to just be able to sink and keep speed and cut back. That's something that he does really, really well. And that's something that when you get to the outside and you have to make a move, I saw this with Ezekiel Elliott for the past 4 years. The dude lost his juice and he couldn't keep the speed through those turns. So nothing he did after that point was able to manipulate a defender into making him miss. Henderson has all of this. He also has one fumble in 600 touches. Relatively low tread on his tires. If the foot checks out, this is a guy who, if he went in the first round, I would say, all right.
Sounds good to me.
You're probably going into a situation that is really, really good towards the end of the first round. You're going to catch a bunch of passes. You're going to protect the quarterback. You're going to be explosive, and you're going to win a bunch of freaking football games. Exactly what he did at Ohio State. And so for me, he is a perfect number one or number two in a really good running back tandem.
Love it. I love it. Take it home. 25 for you.
Yeah. And I just want to point out the only thing keeping him a little bit lower for me than guys like Hampton is the contact balance with him isn't as good as it is with Thompson or with Omarion Hampton. At number 25 for me, this one might be a little bit surprising, but it is Arkansas edge rusher Landon Jackson, somebody who I've been incredibly high on for 2 years now. Listen, I don't know how explosive he is. I don't know how he's going to test. He might run a 4.7. His 10-yard split might not be great. But that dude played in the SEC and consistently won outside shoulder, despite his maybe lack of explosiveness. And so I don't care. And this is where I've missed with guys in the past. Guys who I think explosiveness is really important on the edge. But man, if your hands are accurate, if you have a go-to pass rush move to win on the outside track, it opens up so much for you. And then when you are also 6'5", 6'6", and you have long arms and you're also able to win through the chest and you're able to rip through and get inside as well, and you have good lateral agility, proactive athleticism, I'm going to really like you. And that's where I'm at with Landon Jackson. I think that he could play a little bit more physical for being a 270 pounder. I wish that he was like a Cameron Jordan type on the outside a little bit more, but I don't think he's super finesse either. And he's got very strong desire in pursuit. So for me, like I look at him and I look at him opposite of like another big long guy in say Detroit, mm-hmm. being the Robin to Aiden Hutchinson's Batman when he gets healthy. He also was a WWE NIL guy. Dan Campbell is going to absolutely love that. The only thing with him is, although he's 270 pounds, I do think the pad level when he is condensed inside isn't very good. So if he wants to survive as, you know, a 4i or even a 5-tech, I think that he needs to play a little bit lower consistently, needs to be able to anchor a little bit against doubles. But this is a 270-pound dude who can legitimately drop back into coverage. And there's a lot of guys like that in this class somehow. But he is one of them, and he has the pass rush nuance that I really, really like.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. So taking us home here, I'm going to talk about Jalen Walker now, number 25. But I'm going to talk about Jalen Walker as a linebacker. All of his pass rush production is coming from spy triggers, man. Mm-hmm. And that bugs the crap out of me. Like, that really bugs the crap out of me. And then I don't know how loose his ankles are. I think they're not as stiff as Mikal, obviously, but like, and his pass rush plan's not really there when he is coming right off the edge. Again, it's a projection, a bigger projection than Luther Burden playing Z, which we've already talked about is a risk and a projection as well for a top player. We have both as top 10, but like, everything that I've heard about Jalen Walker as a person and as a player is that he's extremely coachable. He learns really fast and that he's a high character guy. And everything about his tape of where he's thriving is triggering downhill anyway. So yeah, no coverage ability right now, but if he's a fast learner and he's a hard worker, and he's a high character guy, like what's stopping him from learning that? He's a freak athlete on the linear plane, man. And that trigger's there. The eyes are there. And that's what gives me hope for his read reactability as a full-time second level player. And I shouldn't even say as a full-time second level player. Like, you could still put him off the edge on third downs. You could still put him off the edge in obvious passing situations. You can play him at Mike on running downs, on like first and tens, second shorts, third and shorts. And then let him pin his ears back in obvious passing situations. I think that's excellent, an excellent way to use him. But how he has won is triggering downhill with pretty dynamic read react. Like he's reacting very fast. I think that translates better at linebacker.
Yeah, man. Listen, we're going to agree to disagree on Jalen Walker for now. Years will tell us, who was right, who was wrong. And we might both be wrong. He might just suck at both. who knows? That's the way that the NFL goes. I mean, the NFL drafted Devin White at number 5 overall.
Which is really funny because Jason Light has historically been a very good drafter. Mm-hmm. He took Devin White 5th overall.
Yeah. It happens.
He lives and you learn. Yeah.
Yep. And we've seen guys, I mean, he might start at linebacker and move down to the edge. He might start at the edge and move to off-ball linebacker. It wouldn't be the first time that we saw a position Saban change Collins. At the NFL level. Hassan Reddick, Simmons. Mm-hmm. Everybody who has ever played for the Arizona Cardinals. Isaiah Simmons playing safety and playing linebacker. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because the athleticism is obviously there with him to be a blank slate and do anything at the NFL level. He's one of those kinds of athletes. And when you get the gold star character stuff as well, you can bet a little bit more money on a guy like that. Yeah. So in both of our top 25s, we don't feel great about him in our top 25s. Yeah. But that's kind of just the way that this class is. I think that we've kind of talked about it, like 7, 8, maybe 9 guys we feel really, really good about. And then there's a pretty significant drop-off after around there. And then it's pretty much wide open. And depending on who you talk to, those five or six players might be completely different. I know people that have Harold Fannin Jr. at tight end one. I know people that have Gunnar Helm over Colson Loveland. You're looking at one right now if you're watching this or or listening to it. You're hearing him talk. So there's a lot of differences in this class, but overall, and maybe it's just because I'm more engaged in this class than I have been in the last couple of years, but this is the most fun I've had evaluating a class in a long time because it is very much a blank slate. So we're going to get into positional rankings after this and really kind of sort out our boards from this point out, doing it that way. And we're not going to start with quarterback because there's no point in talking about the quarterbacks in this class. So we will pick a position and we will tell you what that is.
I would love to start with running backs. I would love to gush about this running back class.
I've watched about 30 of them. So I am already ready to talk about running backs. And so that might be our number one
when I get back from Frisco.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely when you get back from Frisco. Yeah. So stay tuned. I might have somebody on the podcast early next week to argue about Mike Green and the edge rushers. And so stay tuned. He is Corey Kinnon. I'm Dalton Miller. Remember that I love you. Goodbye.